gentlemen, welcome to iShowcase Music Podcast. I'm here with my new friend, Ian Keller from Orphan Prodigy. And I got to ask you, buddy, first of all, thank you for taking the time to join us. Secondly, how did you come up with that name?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Orphan Prodigy. So back in the day, I'm adopted. I should preface by saying I'm adopted.
I had two gay
parents back in thanks. Back in the 90s, you know, this was kind of like, you know, still on the edge of things. And, my parents were very, like, you know, independent and, for, you know, kind of spearheading part of that movement, right, of adoption and, you know, being different and just having a kind of that alternative lifestyle. And so I always kind of felt like an outsider. And long story short, I put together a band when I was 10 years old after hearing The Offspring's Why Don't You Get a Job and the cursing in the first line. That's what made me decide to go into music, swear to God. And so I felt like a reject pretty much my entire life. And I named my first band The Rejects. And then fast forward to like 2010 or whatever, got offered my first deal. And the label was like, well, you can't use that name because, you know, All American Rejects and stuff, you know, we don't want to, like, get a lawsuit. So had to change my name, to my band at the time was called Metarana. And here we are now. I wanted to retain with Orphan Prodigy. I wanted to retain the aspect of feeling like a reject, like an outsider, but also in a more positive light, because, you know, I'm 30 and I really just kind of came to this. When I hit 30, everything kind of clicked for me. My life became, I don't know, that cliche, like switch going off in your head kind of feeling. My life started coming together and I wasn't ashamed of who I was anymore. I wasn't, like, afraid to be myself. And that goes, you know, from an artistic standpoint, from a personal standpoint, just in all facets of life, man. I really felt comfortable for the first time writing the way that I was always trying to write, but never really got to, because, you know, in the studio with labels and managers and investors, you have to sort of kind of, as a creative, as the sole songwriter of all these projects, I always felt like my vision got diluted and translated and lost in everything.
Sure.
With Orphan Prodigy, it's just me, you know, it's just me writing. It's just me recording. And so I finally, for the first time, felt like I feel like I put out an album that was really representational, of myself, you know, 130% for sure.
No, man, I was listening to some of the tracks and, yeah, it's unique. I mean, it's good. It's,
thank you.
You know, I did have the question about the name. I asked you that. And then I started wondering, like, if it's just you, why not make it the Ian Keller Show, and why have a band name at all?
Well, cause that's boring. I feel like, I have my label is Ian Keller Music. It's an homage to one of my dad's, he's got his architecture firm and it's just his name and then architect. And I always thought that was funny. So my label, you know, my publishing is, you know, how I release music is my name, Ian Keller Music. But I just feel like that's kind of boring. And I think there's something to be said for branding and just kind of feeling like, you know, there's something that you can kind of latch onto. And that was important for me, because for me, it's about the identity. It's about the identity and then the community that comes along with the identity.
Yeah, man. I mean, what makes you a good songwriter, and I'm in my 50s, and I've been working on this my whole life, you know, is what you have found at the age of 30. Most people search their whole lives for the true meaning of why we're here, you know, feeling accepted. I guess being adopted, you know, puts even added pressures that most people wouldn't experience otherwise. And that's probably what really helps you get deep into your songwriting, deep into your lyrics. Just, you know, Get Away, for example. I listened to Deep Bass, and I also like Vodka Build 2020. I was, and then congratulations, man. That live in Brooklyn, I caught a glimpse of that video, and you look like you just killed it, man. Audience was receptive, and it's on YouTube. You can check it. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it was.
Thanks, man. That was really stressful, actually.
Why? You can't tell. Why is that?
I'm actually, you know. It was really great because it was really stressful because, you know, a lot of this is the whole show is run off of the same rig I'm using to talk to you right now. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Mini Pro. The entire show is, you know, kind of pre-programmed, if you will, into Logic the same way that I write the songs, you know, to kind of preserve all of those same sounds and that kind of sonic landscape. So, you know, what better way to do that than just kind of do it from the place it was born, right? So that was my thinking. And obviously with that, there's a lot of risk. You know, obviously I have a backup rig and stuff. If one fails, there's another one we can swap to pretty fast. But, you know, between sampling the we use an e-kit, so an electronic drum kit.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And that's Logic is that's feeding Logic, and Logic is feeding the show. It's risky because there's a lot of latency things that can happen. There's a lot of, you know, different things. There's just a lot that can fail really quickly. And so it's really, it was really stressful for me as like the leader and just making sure it all came together during soundcheck. I was kind of scrambling because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm kind of like driving the entire production, in terms of, you know, where it has to be, where it needs to be.
Well, then
you've
got to perform on top of that.
And then I've got to perform on top of that. That's the easy part. You know, the performing
right.
That's
is the fun
part.
That's the fun part.
That's just like muscle memory and stuff. It's easy.
I might be able to help you out a little bit because I've gotten into deep conversations. Good friend of mine is one of the most prolific band music supervisors in all the land. And when he goes out on tour, he's been Madonna's music director for 15 years, whatever. And we always talk about this and what he ended up doing, you know, and you're talking about the parts that the band's not playing, just to be clear. You're talking about the synthesizer parts that maybe a synthesizer player is not playing. You're going to click track, the band's playing to track, you're singing, whatever, just so you don't miss any of the ambiance and every intricate part of your songs, just for the viewers so they understand. But your concern was, you know, you're running off of a Mac Mini Pro, which I absolute brilliant computer. So what they do on that tour is they have Mac Studios, and but they have 2 to 4 of them. Mm-hmm. Now for shows like what we would do, all you need are 2 Mac Minis, completely synced. So if anything goes down, they're already in real time. You don't have to worry about pumping up another computer and you know, waiting for that to load up and for to reset it up when you're on a live show like that. It would automatically, if this computer went down, that computer is right there with it because they're running simultaneously through the whole thing. And it's really an easy daisy chain, especially with those Mac Minis. There, you can daisy chain 6 of those things together, and it'll.
See, we have to have a conversation after this.
Yeah, man. I
got to pick your brain from an engineer standpoint about that.
Yeah, I learned it from him. I learned it from my buddy, and he was.
That's cool.
But if you think about it, you're on a festival tour, man. You're playing for, you know, there's no margin of error.
Right,
there is
exactly.
Zero margin of error. And that's why I'm such, you know, I don't know. I just think Apple is really, really good for our creative, it's the creative way to go about things.
Absolutely.
For video editing, for audio editing, Logic is just all. I like Pro Tools. I don't like that they went to the subscription base and the updating. Mm-hmm. I think they fell off the wagon for a long time, and then they're back. Pro Tools is still industry standard, but he uses DP. I use Logic. You use Logic.
I use Logic. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I go back, you know, and then DJ wise, I'm using Serato. Some people still use Ableton. I mean, there's a ton. It's whatever you can get out of your system, your DAW system, whatever you're easiest and more comfortable with, because it's all perfectly sounding digitized stuff, right?
Right.
But no. I know exactly what you're talking about, man. Live shows are different, especially when they're televised. Now, are you in New York now, or are you in LA?
So I'm actually I'm originally from New York, from Queens, New York, and I was actually I haven't said this on any interview yet, but a couple of years ago I was actually held at gunpoint in my hometown, and that was a turning point for me. And so long story short, again, I just moved. I moved to Connecticut
Yeah,
actually, so
amen,
that's where I'm
man.
at right now.
I love Connecticut.
Beautiful, beautiful, just easygoing place to be, and where I wrote and recorded this record. So really, really happy with where I am right now. But I love, again, I will always love and miss Queens.
Oh, amen. I love that for you. You know, it's that happiness. It's finding yourself. It's, getting a gun put to your head. I'm born and raised in D.C. in Maryland, the DMV we call it, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And there was no way I was raising my kids up there. So I get it. Growth is, moving out to grow and to be able to feel a little bit safer, is perfect. It's a perfect decision to make. But the reason I brought that up was because I saw a killer write-up in the LA Entertainment Weekly on you guys. I think the headline reads, I'm reading it right now, Orphan Prodigy and the Sound of a New Era. I don't see a date on it, but I saw it posted, I think, on your IG and a couple other places. Danny had sent it to me and a couple other things. But man, congratulations on that. You're getting
Thank you.
press. Be
Thank
people
you.
are paying attention to this album. Let's give that a shout out. Medication for a Modern World. Medication for a Modern World. Go ahead and explain that title.
Yeah, so it's actually it goes back to when I was sitting in my dorm room in college. I flunked out of college, by the way, just so everybody knows. I attended SUNY Purchase, and I flunked out, just like Moby though. Moby flunked out.
The we are a judge-free zone, brother. It's not
So, but no, but I did. Like for the Orphan Prodigy thing, the whole region, the one of the reasons Orphan Prodigy happened actually was because, I actually ended up attending in 2019 the Crass Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences in Arizona, and I graduated from that. That's kind of what got me into Logic in the first place, actually. So it was not too long ago, really. What was I'm sorry, I'm the king of meandering. What was
Oh
the
no, man!
behind Medication for Modern World? Sorry
there
about
you go. Yeah, how you
that.
just came up with that? We're talking a lot about names and stuff because it's unique. I mean, the name of your band, the name of the cuts, the singles on the album, and now the name of the actual album, "Medication for a Modern World." I just wanted to know what made you think of that.
Yeah, I mean, so I was, sitting in my dorm room back in the SUNY Purchase days, and it was this idea that I had. I just thought that, it was kind of like the next step for I had in my original band, I had my first record, my first full length album was called Six Sad Worlds, and then I had an album called Dreamland, and then I had this idea for this third record that was going to be like, well, let's come full circle, let's grow up, and let's give the world what it needs, let's give the people what they need, which is the medication for the modern world. Because at the time, this is like 2010 or 12 or whatever it was. It just seemed like music was kind of rock music in particular was kind of lost in the shuffle between pop and EDM that was kind of taking form at that time. Like Skrillex and stuff.
Oh, heck yeah.
For me at the time as a musician in a deal with managers and all these things, like it just like we kind of missed the boat by like 5 to 7 years, it seemed like. So we were making very little money on tour. We weren't selling any records really. In contrast to that, I think in 2025, as an artist, and I promise this ties into the name, I think in contrast to that, I mean, there really is this. I think there's never been a better time to be an independent artist because
Agreed.
you make your own schedule, you make your
Agreed.
own, you don't get 360'd. You don't have to sign a 360 deal where the studio is taking money, the label's taking money, your manager's taking money, and everybody's taking a piece of your merch on tour. Now it's like I can count the people on my hands that are on this team that we have built. It's a very small team. We have like I think we literally have like 10 people on our team, including crew. So it's a very small operation, and you know, there's this kind of pie chart, right, where it's like there's music, there's the gaming streaming stuff we do, and then at the bottom there the other third is me talking about adoption and lifestyle and all that kind of stuff. And it creates this world of Orphan Prodigy, really, this umbrella. And that in turn, I think, becomes the medication, if you will, is you know, the delivery of that, you know, that idea, that concept.
Yeah, man, that makes a lot of sense. Most definitely. You touched upon, you know, how far you've come. And now you're at an age where I think you're able to help people in their teens, you know, kids in their teens and young 20s that might have been going through a lot of what you went through. Because if your music starts becoming full circle, it reminds me of a story of Prince. Prince was real introverted. I'm not saying you're introverted, but I'm saying he was
oh,
really introverted. And people were always like, man, you know, and he did an interview and it made so much sense. He said, all you have to do is listen to every one of my songs from when I started, because I put it all out there. And it sounds to me, the songs I've heard, you're putting it all out there. So there's something to say for that.
Yeah, I don't know how I think it's, you know, partially my parents, you know, maybe I'm just predisposed to that quality. But, you know, my parents always supported my choices to be a musician. You know, there was never like a moment where my parents were like, you know, be a doctor or be a lawyer. I mean, they did say supplement your, you know, in the early days, they were like, you know, go supplement your music career while, you know, if you're not making money doing music, obviously you have to like be a barista. And I've been a barista. I can make a killer cup of coffee. As a hobby, I do that. You know, I'm drinking Starbucks. Yeah. But, you know, I enjoy making coffee. I enjoy cooking and stuff like that. But, you know, I was very fortunate to have parents that really pushed and allowed me to be myself. And I think, you know, that combined with, I didn't go to church on Sundays. My parents came from, you know, Catholic backgrounds, but they were, they had me and my younger brother going to attending Ethical Culture Society, which basically just teaches you to be a good person, accepts all faiths, no matter where you come from.
Sure.
It allows you to believe whatever you want to believe. At the end of the day, though, it's just about being a good person. And I think I was just lucky to have parents that fostered a good environment and just, you know, allowed me to be the person that I wanted to be, even if I was lost for the first 29 years of my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It sounds like the medication is the music, not just the lyrics and the message, but the music itself. I think a lot of parents don't understand how therapeutic being able to play an instrument is. I think during COVID, during the pandemic, so many people picked up instruments and started learning, whether they're good, bad, or whatever. At least it's, you know, get your mind off of things type of situation. And I was, you know, just like you, I was pretty fortunate to have very, very, I wouldn't be able to do what I do for a living for the last 35 years, or even be who I am as a musician or TV producer, whatever, if it wasn't for my parents supporting the creative arts, supporting, you know, hey, express yourself, be yourself. And that's the message I, you know, distill on my kids. And there's something to say for that. There's something to say. This is a really cool title for a modern world, you know, medication for a modern world. Orphan Prodigy. Tell me about Getaway, man. Now, you know, before we get into that, actually, this is a good segue. You know, your sound. I want to talk about your sound for a second, because we were talking about, you know, guitar, synthesizers, you're doing your thing. I'm feeling where you're going with all this. And I started this whole segment, this whole interview with, it's unique. And because I hear a lot of different influences in your music. Like sometimes, oh, he sounds just like so-and-so, or they sound just like, no, not with you, man. But I can name probably four. I don't want to name them because I could be off, but I can go off a vibe. Okay. My vibe, it's like, man.
Hell yeah.
It's like Muse. I heard a little bit of Muse in there meets Man. Okay, I'm just gonna say it. If you remember who Peter Gabriel was in the
Of
80s,
course. Yeah, of course.
big time. But you know, so when I saw some of the videos and saw some of the things that I did when I was learning more about you, I was like, man, Muse meets Peter Gabriel meets a touch of Limp Bizkit meets a touch of I mean, I was like going down this list, and I just start
All the fun stuff. All the
as
fun
a
stuff.
DJ, I just started laughing. You know, I'm a DJ also. That's how I made the money to keep everything going, right? Talking about doing that job, you're
Right,
making
right.
coffee. I'm
Yeah,
freaking,
yeah.
I'm just spinning. But man, I think I'm pretty spot on with my assessment of these tunes. And they're good. And I really like to get away. I like vodka build. So let's talk about, you got some killer names. Let's talk
Thanks,
about
man.
your style, and let's talk about, you know, some of the getting to the music now.
They call it sick today. They try to find this way out. Get away. Get away. Find a way to leave that day.
So with Getaway, that was the first track that I did. I was in Arizona actually when I wrote that, and it was the first one that I like. I compose everything on an old 2000 laptop PC. You know, from you know it's with win probably went running Windows XP. I don't even know. That's
Yeah,
how.
man. I'll break out
But
my Korg. I'll break out my Korg Triton Pro X right now and not even think
there you
twice
go.
about it.
Exactly. You know,
And
when
then
you
I'll
have
move
something
everything
that,
over to Native Instruments, and then I'll
right.
do my big production if I need to bring in live whatever. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm
No,
digressing.
it's fine. So I mean, so I compose everything MIDI. So, you know, from the ground up, it's I compose everything. I start with drums, move to synths, and then I get to guitars and bass, and then melody comes last. So kind of everything is in reverse. And then I laid that down all on just MIDI sound. So for anybody out there who doesn't know what MIDI is, it's just kind of a digital music sounding. Imagine like old like Super Nintendo sounds. That's kind of what it sounds like at first until you bring it into
Music
Logic.
instrumental digital
And
interface.
that's exactly it. Thank you. I didn't
We
want
can
to
go
sound
high tech.
pretentious.
The high tech people appreciate it. If
Yeah,
that's
I
your
didn't
high
want to
tech,
sound
put it around.
pretentious, but I guess I don't know. Maybe I
No,
sound
no.
pretentious anyway, but whatever.
Not at all. He's
So with Getaway, that was the first track that I dragged from my 2007 laptop into Logic, and picked all the sounds, got really excited. I was like, holy shit, this is a revelation. And I demoed it. You know, I had like a crappy, I had like a, I think it was like a, I think it was like an SM, I don't even know what kind of mic it was, but I just laid some scratch vocal over it. And so whatever the lyrics are, that's what wound up on the record. I never edit lyrics. That's just something I don't do. I don't believe in recreating the initial performance. You know, it's one thing to overdub, it's another thing to like recreate the initial vibe and stuff. So I let the music do the talking a lot of the times. That's my way of storytelling, because I am a terrible storyteller. If you can't already tell.
You're doing
so uh,
fine. You're doing great.
so uh so so I really rely on the music to do a lot of the storytelling for me. The lyrics come from what the music evokes in me. I do have recently was told that I have what's called synesthesia, which means I can kind of like, it sounds really weird. I'm still kind of getting a grasp on what it means still. But it basically essentially there's like different, I think it's different for everybody that has it, but for me, it's an experience where I can kind of taste shapes and see colors
Oh, I have
differently.
heard of
They,
that before.
yeah. So it's a very, I don't know, from what I've been told, it's very jarring experience for somebody who doesn't have it, to be told that stuff. But I think that ultimately it aids me in that first take, that scratch take that I do vocally and lyrically. It informs that a lot, I think. And I really don't analyze my lyrics until years later, and figure out what they mean. So with Getaway, my best guess is it's like it's kind of me just confident enough to say, like, you know, the opening word line is like, I don't like your face or whatever. And like, I think that's just me confident enough, it going back to that whole like outcast reject thing, but now confident enough to say it. Like, I'm confident enough to be cheeky and say, I don't like your face right now. And then I even talk about like working a crappy job, like try to get a wage out of you. You know, when people are stiffing you with wages and stuff at these, like, you know, these chain jobs and stuff. I won't say any names, but
Yeah.
I've done like every odd job under the sun. I was like a, you know, I worked at an airport, you know, shipping and receiving, driving forklifts and things. I was, you know, a barista at like 20 different places. You know, I've done just everything. I was a delivery person. I've just done it all. I've
You've
done
done
a
what you've
lot of,
had to do to keep
I've
your
done what
dream
I've had
alive
to
and keep
do
your
to
vision
keep,
going.
exactly.
Kudos
Yeah.
to you for
Now,
that, man. Not.
yeah, no, thankfully now I can, you know, I'm in a position where I can, you know, pay the bills doing this. And it's just so, it's just a very full circle experience. And getaways are a really good example of how I've gotten away from all the shit in my life, and I've really kind of turned 30, and something's gone off in my head where things are, excuse me, things are going better than they have in a
I love
long,
that,
long
man.
time.
So you mentioned something early on, and you were talking about all the managers, the agents, the record companies, the publishers, everybody's got their hand in the deal, on the merch and this and that. And, you know, I've worked with major record labels. A lot of labels want finished products. They want to sign you on. They want the album done. They want it already rocking and rolling, and then they take it from there. But those record companies that have to develop and have to put so much money in behind the marketing, the branding, and all of that, it's really, really hard. You know, Jelly Roll talks about this a lot, actually, and
Love Jelly Roll.
how hard it
Yeah.
is to make any money, to because everything is, you know, pro bono. All the money's thrown up ahead of time, and it's going to take years, if forever, for you for that. It's called recoup. For the record
Yeah.
company to recoup all the money they put towards
Yeah, you
towards
start
that.
off in debt. You start off in debt.
Oh
You go
yeah.
on the road and you're in debt.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, but you think, you know, you're living the life, you're young, you're as happy as can be. So my whole angle has always been find a niche, which I did, sports music and DJ Crazy Scott and party music, and then I also have solo piano stuff, but find it. Find your own. There's billions of people on Earth. Find your own fan base. Build your fan base and go from there and build it from there. Because if you make enough noise, they're going to come for you. They're going to come and seek you out more than you ever having to go knock on doors in anywhere, you know, LA, Nashville, New
Absolutely.
York, wherever. And that's the ultimate goal. Stay true to yourself, stay true to your message, stay true to your goal. And it all works out, man. So, and I'll tell you what, faith has a lot to do with that, especially in all the darkness we're seeing right now with the Diddy trials and everything going on. It's nothing. I don't think it's surprising anybody. I think some of the names,
It's
but
wild.
man, just staying true to yourself and doing it the right way. There's so much to say for that and about that. But you know what I'd like to do, man. Once again, thank you for your time, and I'd like for you to give yourself a shout out. Let people know, let the viewers know and listeners know, how can they get in touch with you, talk your IG and all that good stuff. I'll also, you know, we'll have graphics that'll show how people can get in touch with you. But go ahead, tell everybody how they can hear this awesome album.
Yeah, check it out. It's all over YouTube. It's on Amazon. I think it's on like every platform you can possibly imagine. It's on Spotify, of course, if that's your thing, which a lot of people it is.
No,
Orphanprodigy.com.
I listened to it. I watched the video on YouTube from your live in Brooklyn, and then I listened to it on Spotify.
Oh, right on. Very cool. But yeah, Spotify, YouTube, Instagram is like my main hub. That's kind of where I just I run it by myself, and it's just very fun. And yeah, I wouldn't have said that 10 years ago, but it
That's
is. So
at Orphan Prodigy
at Orphan
on.
Prodigy, yeah. My Facebook is my name, which is Ian Andrew Keller. So check me out there. Check out the bands. You know, just we you know, I think we're gearing up to do some pretty big things. I can't say anything yet about one pretty big gig that I think is happening, but I will just keep an eye out for that.
Did you, hey man, you're just gonna have to come back on iShowcase Music Podcast and talk
Hey
about
man,
it.
anytime, anytime. I love talking to you, man. You're a really cool dude, so I really appreciate it, man.
It was good. It was fun, man. So thank you so much. Wish you the best. We'll see where you are in a couple months from now, and just keep swinging. Keep swinging. It's a good album. I mean, from what I've gathered and the couple of tracks I've been able to hear, it's yeah, you poured your heart and soul into it. So it's something for you to seriously be proud of.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.